This is a live look inside Everbank Field. The Florida Blue Family Night Scrimmage with Nickelodeon is underway. Welcome in J.P. Shadrick with John Osier. And welcome in on Jaguars.com around the world tonight. A fantastic night for football in Jacksonville. And this is always one of the cornerstones of training camp, John. When you're a week away from the preseason, you're about a week and a half into training camp, and something close to real on the field.
Well, and let's not sell this as something like what's happened in the past, because everything about this feels new right now. Can you feel it? Are you fired up?
I think so.
I mean, and I'm kidding, but you've been here since 2012, JP. I've been here since 2011. The excitement around this team is off the charts compared to anything I've seen before, and with reason. We've been in training camp the last 8-9 days. The talent, all the stuff we wrote about, all the stuff we talked about all offseason, you can see on the practice field the talent, the speed, the potential of this team. The excitement is there for a reason. I think we're going to see some of it here tonight.
This morning on Jaguars.com, you wrote what to watch for tonight, and it started with number 56, the second-year player now. Right. He hasn't played a game in the NFL. Dante Fowler Jr. looks pretty good.
Well, you almost said rookie. It's an easy mistake. He didn't play last year. He really is a rookie, except for this, JV. He doesn't remotely look like a rookie. I've been covering the league a long time, 22 years. Dante Fowler compares to, in 2004, I watched Bob Sanders in Indianapolis. Had never played in the NFL. When he moved around the practice field without any experience, your eyes looked at him and you went, whoa, this guy's different. Different position, but at the defensive end position, the suddenness, all of the things that you want out of that spot, all the things this franchise hasn't had at that spot, he's showing. I've written it many times this week. I don't see any way in the world that he is not a top-level defensive end in his first couple of years in this league. He's special.
The next thing to watch, offensive efficiency. We saw what the offense did last year through the air. Can they balance it out now?
Well, and I don't know if you're going to see it here tonight. This is a controlled scrimmage, and you're not going to get that feel. To me, I've said over and over again, people think I'm crazy, that's the key for this season. I mean, the defense is going to be better. Can the offense be efficient? It was explosive last year. Can it be efficient, and can it do those winning things? We don't know that yet. That, to me, is going to quickly move up as the number one thing to watch early in the season.
And maybe run the ball could help there, too. Speaking of explosion, A-Rob having a fantastic camp. Allen Robinson and his matchups with Prince Amukamara right. have been epic.
Well, it seems weird to say that Allen Robinson might be the most improved player on the team. And that's, you know, I haven't looked down all 53 and compared it, but he's that much better than he looked at the beginning of training camp last season. He's running routes significantly better. If you remember last year, A-Rob was the key to the offense because you could throw the ball up to him and he would use his athleticism to go get the ball. That's a special trait he has. Now he's combining that with the ability to get open on a 7-yard out, on a 12-yard in. Once that's established, the deep ball becomes a much more common thing for him. I think he's on his way to being a top three, top five guy in this league. It may happen this year. He's looking that good.
And finally, last thing to watch tonight, speed, speed, speed. We may not have it in the booth. It's certainly between the white lines tonight.
I'll speak for yourself. But it's just look on defense. Secondary, Jalen Ramsey. Linebacker, Miles Jack, who once he gets this is going to show his speed, meaning he's not there with the defense yet. He's still learning it. Dante Fowler, the defensive end. All three of those guys are significantly faster. They're not faster than Telvin Smith, but all three of those guys are probably in the top four or five fastest defensive players on this team. Each level of the defense, throw in Yannick Ngakoue too, each level of the defense has a guy who can run across field, chase a guy down, make a wow play. I don't want to say it's never been the case here. I've never seen it.
Let's get to some rules for tonight. Not your regular scrimmage. This is more of a practice. They had the warm-up period, which is part of the practice period here, but some rules tonight for this scrimmage. Three NFL officials, two in development. Penalties will be applied tonight. There's a play clock for every play. The game clock is only in the two-minute situation. This is a thud tempo. You can pop them, but you can't take them down, except for goal line. That is live. No cutting ever tonight, and turnovers will end a situation. The only exception there is a fumbled snap. Practice schedule tonight. Most of the time this evening, it's ones versus ones and twos versus twos. Six different scenarios throughout the night. The threes get some work at the end, and we'll have some special teams period in between. It looks like
we should bring thud tempo into our daily lives, JP. I think we would excel there.
We want to go all the way to the ground up
here. I'd like some thud tempo for you.
Thud tempo. Right. And that's the case tonight here for the family night scrimmage. We're moments away from the beginning. We're glad you're with us here on Jaguars.com. The pregame warm-ups are nearly complete. This is always fun. Here we go. We're moments away from just seeing something under the lights for the first time.
Well, and people ask, well, what's different? It's not a scrimmage in the sense that you might have seen in the 70s and 80s when guys are going to the ground and you're running goal line and there's dust flying. You can see some more things, many more game-like situations than you would normally see in a normal practice.
So the first scenario is the first team kickoff against the third team kickoff return. This will be relatively live. You'll see some coverage down the field for the first time. And always interesting to see who is in this scenario in the kickoff return area. Denard Robinson is the first man deep on the third team. This is more for the coverage aspect to begin tonight. You'll see all the specialists. You'll see Myers, who's on now to kick away. Sam Ficken, the backup kicker. And in the punt situations, both punters tonight, Nortman and Quigley. Jason Myers to boot it away, and we're underway. And family night from Everbank Field. Denard Robinson, 2 yards deep, going to bring it out near sideline. Would have been tackled right around the 15-yard line.
And it's interesting. I'm not sure. I think that's what Jason Myers was trying to do there. With the new rule change, with them kicking off from the 35, they're trying to discourage kickoffs in the league, meaning kickoff returns for injury reasons. But there's also a lot of talk that teams are going to try to pooch kick high, make them return, and see if they can't get a better field or a worse field position start for the offense. Gus said this week it's going to be something they bring in. It'll be interesting to see how that rule plays out this season.
This is ones versus ones, a move-the-ball situation, and some notables out on the offensive line tonight. Brandon Linder not playing with a groin injury, so Tyler Shatley gets the reps with the ones there. And then at left tackle, Kelvin Beecham out tonight, so Wells is the quote-unquote starter.
And it's interesting,
little
JP.
Throw to T.J. Yeldon, and he's out of bounds at around the 30-yard line.
Kind of jumped the gun there. The left tackle position is such a spot of intrigue for people. Luke Jokel working with left guard there. To me, that makes sense. Even with Beecham out, you want Jokel to get left guard reps. People are talking, well, does that mean that he's automatically not starting? I don't think so. He knows how to play left tackle. He knows what he's familiar with there. Playing at left guard, he needs as many live reps in case that's where he lines up.
Thomas and Mercedes Lewis are the tight ends. Bortles up under center. Yeldon right behind him in a single back look. Handoff for Yeldon. Cuts back. Dante Fowler Jr. is on him in the backfield.
And you had out there that time both Ramsey and Amukamara. They're out there in that starting situation because Devon House is not out there. Amukamara is one of the big stories of training camp. He is a guy who I think they knew that they liked him coming in. I don't think they knew they were going to like him this much. He's playing exceptionally well, has a knack for the ball. A former first-round pick, you'd expect to be a talented guy. To me, he looks the part of a first-round pick. If he's as good as he looked, all of a sudden they've got three top-quality corners on this team. Again, something they haven't had for a long time.
5-yard penalty against the defense. Back judge Terrence Miles in his ninth season in the NFL is leading things tonight. Play fake. Bortles moving right. Throwing deep. He's got a man downfield. It's incomplete. Coverage there from Dan Scuda on Julius Thomas.
That was a play, JP. I believe they ran that. Something very similar in practice a few days ago. Got a touchdown out of it. The chemistry between those two, meaning Thomas and Bortles, has been, to me, a lot better during camp and during the offseason than it was last year. As to be expected, they worked together for a year. But it's been a big issue because Thomas missed so much time after that injury in preseason. Those two need to be on the same page. I think Thomas will have a better year this year if healthy.
Second down and 5. Handoff. Right side. Ivory's first touch of the game. The free agent addition from the New York Jets. A Pro Bowler a year ago. And he's a couple of yards shy of a first down.
And Ivory's a guy, JP, they knew they liked him as an inside runner, what you just saw. I think what has struck them a little bit, I don't want to say surprised, is how quickly he can get to the edge. I think he's a little better outside and overall runner than they expected that they were getting in him. So maybe changing the dynamic a little bit of how he's going to be used. He's looked very impressive in camp so far.
They'll call it third down and one. Ivory in the backfield. Koyak joins him now from the tight end spot. Play fake. Bortles throws right side, looking for Koyak. Incomplete. And Jonathan Cyprian on his back.
And Sip was right there. It's going to be a penalty there. Sip has played better in training camp with this more defined role that everybody's talking about. Deshaun Gibson comes in. They expect Sip to be able to play more in the box, that kind of safety. So watch him tonight. His strength is going to be run defense. That was decent coverage there, or decent reaction to coverage.
So the ones are done with their move the ball session, a couple of movements of the chain there, and that's about it. So twos versus twos. Chad Henney leading the offense, and our first look tonight at Miles Jack on the defensive side. Yannick Ngakoue is also on the field, and Derek Marks, the second team defense and the second team offense. Handoff. Denard Robinson cuts back, finds a little space. First contact at the 25-yard line.
And Denard has looked good at times in a training camp this year. I think he's fighting for a job this year, JP.
Yeah,
I think the kickoff return situation could come into play for him. He's on the bubble and probably has to perform well during the preseason.
At the end of the day, they could keep probably four running backs, right?
Well, they've kept five in the past, but with everything that they've got to do at tight end, I mean, they need guys at tight end because they play two tight ends so much. I think it's going to be hard for them to keep five running backs this year and keep all the young tight ends that they'd like to keep, but we'll see.
Robinson gets a couple of yards, and then Sample and Tripp both there to bring him down.
Interesting on defense, JP, right now. You're seeing Miles Jack and Odd Ngakoue on the field with the second-team defense. I don't know how long that's going to last in key situations. I think both of those guys are going to have key roles, at minimum, in the nickel pass-rushing, pass-defense situation this year. So you're seeing some guys who are going to be frontline players, as well as Derek Marks.
Henny, some pressure, steps up, finds a man across the 40, across midfield. And that's Tony Washington with a reception.
Yeah, and he's a guy, JP, that if you watch practice, he makes plays, and he's pretty reliable. Again, I don't know with this wide receiver setup, you wonder if there's a place for him on this team as good as they are a wide receiver. But if he's a guy that you bring in later, if he's your sixth guy, he's more reliable than people might think, not having heard of him a great deal.
It's first and 10 at the 48-yard line. Henny works out of the gun. Joe Banyard is the running back. Aurelius Ben in motion, far side. Henny lets it loose near sideline, looking for Washington again, but Aaron Colvin is there in coverage. And speaking of Colvin, the cornerback situation here will be relatively interesting come week 5, the bye week, and then yep. Week 6, when Colvin is back up after his suspension. Something's got to happen there, and maybe a few weeks into the season it might happen naturally. You never know.
It will, and I thought going into the offseason that you would see Colvin come back and automatically be the nickel. The better Amukamara plays, the more you think, okay, maybe they leave Ramsey at that nickel role because Amukamara needs to be on the field. They have a great situation as deep as the cornerback position is this year.
Aurelius Ben popped by Miles Jack at the 45-yard line.
And getting back to the cornerback situation, it's because Aaron's suspended early. And you're not, and that's why Ramsey right now is playing inside and outside. He seems to have the athleticism, the skill, all that stuff to be able to do that. I thought at first it would be a case where once he came back, you put Ramsey in house on the outside and have Aaron in the nickel. Amukamara may make that very difficult to do as well as he's playing.
Third and long. We'll call it third and 8. Henny makes some changes at the line. Looks over the middle, batted at the line and incomplete. And throughout his career, we've heard that a bit from Chad Henne. Battered balls at the line.
There's no doubt. I didn't see who got that. It may have been Tyson, although I'm not sure. Pretty good eye, John. Yes, it was. But, it's been an issue for Chad. Chad, by the way, I get some questions every now and then. Will Chad Henne be the backup on this team? Is there any way Brandon Allen, the young quarterback, the rookie, who has looked very good, by the way, could be the backup? I don't believe so. Chad Henne's the backup quarterback in this team. The team trusts him. He's a great guy in the room with Blake Bortles. It would be very surprising if Chad Henne's not the backup with Brandon Allen. You know, we'll see practice squad, regular roster. I think all three are around.
Punt team situation. First team punt unit. Third team punt return. This is more for the punting side. Fifth gear punter Brad Nortman, brought on in free agency from Carolina. His first look tonight. In place of Brian Anger, who had been here the last 4 years. Nortman gets it away. Nick Marshall lets it bounce at the 30, and it's covered at the 23-yard line.
Yeah, and that's obviously not a look that you're probably going to get if Rashad Green is healthy. Rashad Green is absolutely solidified as the punt returner. Be interesting to see to me how he comes back, Rashad Green, how he fits into that slot position this year.
Register now for the second annual Jaguars 5K Stadium Challenge, Saturday, August 13th, under the lights at Everbank Field. Online registration available at firstplacesports.com. That's 1stplacesports.com.
That was a much better punt than I thought, JP, because they're backed up to their own two.
he added 20 yards somehow.
If he can get that during the season, he's in good shape. Now, they set that up, obviously. It's a situational scrimmage.
Jags got their money's worth in free agency. Ones versus ones in a backed-up situation at their own two-yard line. They'll do different scenarios throughout the night. Again, Wells the left tackle, Shatley the center, Jokel left guard, Can Parnell on the right side of the line. Yeldon is the single back. Bortles under center. Looking to throw out of his own end zone. Allen Robinson overthrew him. Mukamura a couple yards behind him.
Boy, and isn't it interesting that just the talent level difference is on display? You look out there right now. Up top, you've got A-Rob being covered by Mukamura. Down below, you have Jalen Ramsey being covered by Allen Hurns. I just mentioned four guys who could start on an awful lot of rosters in the NFL. You just are so taken by this team, how much more frontline talent there is. And in those two matchups, you're seeing it up close.
Defensive line shifts around. Second and 10. Yeldon up the middle. Hit right around the line of scrimmage. First man in looked like Audric.
And Jared Audric, by the way, he was the sacks leader last year, remember, with 5.5. Has looked significantly better during training camp than this time last year. You expect that, being a little more familiar with it. But the people around here think that Jared Audric may not be asked to be the best defensive lineman this year. The way he's playing, if he's your second and third defensive lineman, they have a pretty good defensive line, which they think they do.
Two tight ends off, two wide receivers on. Three wide, one tight end. The shotgun for Bortles, looking to throw. Near sideline, incomplete. Out of the reach of Julius Thomas with Jonathan Cyprian in tow. And that'll do it for the ones versus ones.
And if you notice there, JP, Dante Fowler was right in Bortles' face before he threw. It wasn't a spin move to the outside. It wasn't a speed. It was he set it up by going a little bit outside and then basically just, I don't call it a bull rush, but just used power to get there. What's striking about Fowler is how many different ways he can be effective. He's not limited to just one or two moves. He's a really tough guy to even know what he's doing when he starts. I think offensive tackles, as this guy gets older into his career, we're going to have a real problem knowing what's coming from him.
Same scenario here. Twos versus twos backed up at their own two-yard line. It's first and 10. Chad Henne back at the controls. Kenzie Bernadeau is the center. Veteran in this league. A lot of starts. mostly with Carolina. Hand off to Joe Banyard. Nowhere to go. Jack was around the pile. It was interesting at the beginning of camp, we heard from Paul Posluszny, and there was a question about Miles Jack. And guess what? Paul's no spring chicken anymore. He's still playing at a high level, but it is his 10th year in the league. They just drafted a guy in the second round who they feel is the future linebacker. And Paul's answer was fantastic. He's not going to give up a job as the middle linebacker or starter, but he's got to help Miles Jack at the same time.
Well, he knows what the game is, and he knows where he's at in his career, and he knows how good Miles Jack is.
Handoff. James Sample came up from the safety spot and wrapped him up. That'll be close to a first down, a couple yards shy. It'll be third down. And in fact, they'll give it to him. First down.
And back to the thought about Paz. He's not out of the lineup or even close to being done yet. I anticipate him being the starting middle linebacker throughout the season. And I think he's going to be on the field in all situations a lot more than some people might think. He has come. There's always talk about getting him off the field in passing situations. His awareness, his knowledge of the defense, his level of play so far doesn't merit him taking off the field. I don't think he comes off the field early in the season on third downs.
First and 10 offense. Denard Robinson, left side. And the first man in, Joplo Bartu, who's on the field with the twos now.
But it's also interesting, again, getting back to Posluszny and Jack, because they're a very fascinating storyline. You do see Paz working with Jack during practice. He knows this guy's the heir apparent. And there is the football guy in Paz looks at Miles Jack, and I know he sees the future. I know he sees a guy who can be a Pro Bowl-level, all-pro player in this league. A lot of what he's teaching him will be some of Paz's legacy in this league.
Chad Henney. Screen. Denard Robinson, left side, got a block, got past Ngakoue at the 20. And he's close to a first down. And he does have the first down by a yard.
And, JP, it seems like every time you're standing on the sidelines having a conversation about Denard and I wonder if he's going to be on the team, you look up and he's doing something like this. So the talent level and the explosiveness, I don't think he's ever going to be a premier starting running back in this league. But with the talent that he has, with the ability to make big plays, it's awfully hard to cut a guy like that.
Now some speed in the backfield. Corey Grant is in the game. Henney steps up, rolls to the right, and throws it away. There was a lot of talk, John, about Chad Henney, backup quarterback, when he signed back with the Jags. Hey, what are you doing here, right?
Right.
A lot of fans were like, hey, this guy has not had a lot of success as a starter in the league. What's the deal? But he's very important, certainly for the development of Blake Bortles as a professional in this league. And God forbid something happens to number five. He's a guy who has a lot of experience in this league.
Yeah, he's very important for the development, but he's also very important because he knows the offense. You can put him in, and if the talent around him, if you're playing good defense, he is a guy. What you want out of backup quarterback usually is, if he's playing over a 4 or 5 game stretch, you don't want the backup quarterback to be the reason you go 0-5. And Chad's a guy who, if the team is good enough around him to win, he can get you there, he can function, you can run your offense, he can make the plays. So, you know, I don't know if he's number 33 in the league in terms of ranking quarterbacks, but he's up there with the better backup quarterbacks in the league. If the Jaguars hadn't re-signed him, he would have signed to be a top backup somewhere very quickly and probably with a good team.
Corey Grant had the last carry, second-year running back out of Auburn. He's still in the backfield as Henney looks to throw again. Incomplete. Neil Sterling in and out of his hands, second-year man out of Monmouth, a seventh-round pick a year ago. Gotta reel those in.
If you're going to be on the active roster as a receiving tight end, which is his role, his goal, you have to catch those. I kind of think Sterling probably winds up on the practice squad for a year. He's making that switch from receiver to tight end. If you look at him, he's got everything you want out of a move tight end physically. But reliability, you know, that one play isn't the entire season for him. But those are the kind of plays you've got to make as a move tight end.
Special team situation, first team punt return. So take a good look here at the return unit led by Rashad Green, who a year ago had one return for a touchdown, another close, nearly 17 yards average on his returns in the punt game a year ago.
Well, and if you start looking, JP, at things that this team feels like they're good at, which as you get better as a franchise, and this franchise is improving, you want more and more things that you feel like you're good at and can rely on. Rashad Green very quickly last year showed that he's very good at punt returning, has a knack for it. So all of a sudden, this is another potential strength for this team that's starting to build up more of those.
From the 32-yard line, he would have been down around the 34, couple-yard return. He's on the run anyway. There's the first look under the lights at the Jags punt return unit. Now, a sudden change situation. Ones versus ones again. We'll start at the 40-yard line. The twos will do this same drill, and then a kickoff drill, and then a two-minute halftime portion of tonight's scrimmage.
Yeah, and pretty much it looks like Jokel's pretty much working that that left guard the whole time. That also, remember, JP, may have something to do with going on at with what's going on at center. There's a few fewer options in terms of moving guys around. So this is really probably your first team right now in this scenario.
Play fake. Bortles lets it go down the middle. He's got Allen Robinson in front of Prince Amukamara at the 23-yard line and a first down.
Well, and that's a big-time play, and you've got to think with the offense, they wanted to see it. They've been talking about fast starts, the offense, and so far tonight it hasn't been a fast start. That's the sort of play you need if you're dragging a little bit early offensively. You need that 12, 13-yard pass that you can count on. Allen Robinson's starting to look like a guy where that sort of a play can be more routine than it's been in the first couple of years for him.
Hand off to Brian Walters. Hit by Telvin Smith initially at the 17.
And if you need offense, JP, get the ball in Walters' hand on a run. I mean, that's a little bit of an unusual play, but it's again. Go ahead.
That's the play we would have seen Marquise Lee.
Correct.
In camp.
Correct. And that will be something when Marquise returns, which he will return. That's the sort of thing you will see Marquise doing. Get the ball into that third receiver. I said a lot. I think this is the look you're going to get with Marquise Lee a lot, which is Marquise Lee and Brian Walters' spot on the outside with Allen Hurns on the inside playing the slot.
Walters, top of your screen. Bortles towards the end zone. Julius Thomas! Touchdown!
Yeah, and they set the three wide receivers up top there, JP, and they had Julius Thomas split out wide. An interesting look. And, again, I believe that is going to be a huge part of their base offense, first and second down offense. Julius Thomas on the field with three wide receivers. Once he gets healthy, it'll be Marquise Lee. But an example of the chemistry that Bortles and Thomas have been showing.
We saw it early last camp, and then first preseason game. Thomas, with a thumb injury, missed the first few weeks of the season. And when he got back, it took just a little time to really get in sync. Now the extra point from Jason Myers. Snap and hold are good. And the kick is good.
Good to see him hit that, JP.
It was an issue a year ago.
Not going to lie to you. Yep. Pretty good to see that one go through early.
So. It's something to watch this camp, too. Silent, a little under the radar, possible battle at that spot even. Sam Ficken, First year officially. His last year at Penn State was 14. Well, I don't think he's missed a kick in camp yet.
Yeah, he's looked good enough to make that an issue if there's faltering going on in the preseason. They love Myers' leg strength. They think he gives him a big advantage on kickoffs. He can really – he's got range. He's got a huge leg. But he needs to inspire confidence throughout the preseason.
Now twos versus twos. They'll start at the 40 going in. Chad Henney will try to replicate what the first team unit just did with a touchdown at the end of it. Lawrence and Ben to the far left. A couple of tight ends. Jacobs and Koyak are in the game. Henny looking to throw. Looks left. Nowhere to go. Dumps it down to Koyak, who dropped it. Koyak a year ago on the practice squad all year. Seventh round pick out of Notre Dame. And now officially a first-year player here in 2016.
You know, it's sad, JP. I just tried to find the score. So that's where I'm at right now.
Yeah, no scoring tonight.
Yeah, no score in this one.
In the family night scrimmage. Did you find it? That's the other question.
Well, I would be – it'd be a story if I had.
It'd be a real trouble if you found it. Second down and 10. Denard Robinson eaten up by Michael Bennett. Now, that's an interesting spot to watch, too. The three technique position. Malik Jackson, big contract, $42 million guaranteed. So Derek Marks, can he come back full with the triceps injury a year ago and maybe even the knee a little bit? Michael Bennett, a guy who had limited time a year ago, and then you have a draft pick, Sheldon Day, in that spot too.
Yeah, and I think I think you probably mentioned the wrong order there. Sheldon Day is, there's no depth chart yet, but he's impressing enough to be ahead of Michael Bennett. Sheldon Day is going to play a lot for this team. It could wind up being a factor that pushes Derek Marks out to play the big end a little bit. And that's an interesting dynamic in the sense that they now have three young guys, meaning Ngakoue, Day, and Fowler, who are all going to play huge roles. It's going to create some conflict at the bottom of the roster, who makes this roster or not. Michael Bennett, Tyson Alualu, those guys need to play well to be on this team.
Rashad Lawrence with a fine juggling catch with McCray wrapped all around him on the far sideline. And it's good for a first down. Whistles.
And this is really good for Miles Jack here, JP. I just kind of noticed he's looking over to the sidelines, bringing the defense in. You get a chance to do this in practice. This is really his first chance to sort of be the quarterback of the defense in a little bit more of a live situation. It's hard to overemphasize how much they like him and how much they're sort of waiting right now. They're watching it, and they're waiting for it to sort of come on, for it to get easier, for it to get slower, for him to get faster. There's no question in their mind that'll happen. So far, remember, he was only in three off-season workouts. So he's still in, what, maybe 9 or 10, close to single digits in terms of times he's done this.
That's about right.
Once he gets right, they believe he's going to live up to that top five type pick potential that he has.
First and 10 for the offense. They're at the 34-yard line. Joe Banyard in the backfield. Henny out of the gun, pumps, throws near side. Lawrence, it's knocked away by Nick Marshall, the former Auburn quarterback. Nick Marshall with a fine play.
Yeah, nice play by Nick Marshall, and he's a guy who realistically, as you've gotten better in the secondary, remember, they've added two very, very good cornerbacks. They've also moved Peyton Thompson to free safety. They've added a lot of guys who they're sure about in the secondary. That means less spots for a guy like Nick Marshall, whose talent they love, made some mistakes last year. He's an interesting guy to watch as late in the preseason gets going to see if he's on this roster.
Lawrence wrapped up immediately
by the other Rob, I believe that was. I think that was Jamal Robinson, if I'm not mistaken. But it's hard to tell because they have the jersey so far up. If it was Jamal Robinson, here's a guy who's played very well in camp. I'm not sure that it is.
Third and 11 for the second team offense. And he's going to change a couple of things at the line. Henny over the middle. He's got a man caught at the 17-yard line. And a nice catch by Rashad Green. With some space.
Yeah, and we do know that was Rashad Green. It was not Robinson. He that's the kind of play that you've seen Rashad Greene in practice three or four different times make. It's the kind of play he has to make. He had some catches last year, but a very low yards per catch average. He's a guy who they expect on third downs. I think it's going to be Rashad Greene in the slot, the two Allens on the outside. That's the sort of play Rashad Greene has to make and that they believe he's going to be very good at and eventually approach the level of the two guys on the outside in terms of productivity.
Denny looks left, throws left. Denard Robinson and Ryan Davis would have had him around the lower leg there, but he squirted free for a little extra yardage, and they're going to give him a first down.
As Denard might have broken that one in a game.
It will be first and goal at the four-yard line.
Miles Jack looked a little frustrated there. Probably think he saw something there. He could have been over a little quicker on that play. But, again, that's the learning with the guy. I mean, once he knows what he's seeing, his reaction time and his ability to chase that down is off the charts.
This is a goal line situation, but it is not a goal line scenario whole drive, so this is not live contact. This is still thud for the Jaguars in a sudden change. They started at the 40. They're now at the 4. Sterling in motion, and Henny wants a timeout. Good movement down the field by the twos here.
Well, and the big play on the drive was really the play down the middle to Rashad Greene. Like I said, that's a ball that he really didn't get a whole lot last year. He had a couple touchdowns, touchdown early. He did some good things. But he didn't make a whole lot of those plays down the field, move the sticks, sort of change the momentum type of plays. They believe he can do that. They, you know, he's a guy who doesn't get talked about that much publicly because of the two Allens and because of Marquise Lee. There's a lot of confidence within the organization that Rashad Greene's going to be productive this year.
Remember, he had that thumb injury, missed a lot of time a year ago.
8 games, yes, he did.
And off, little space, finds the pile about the 2-yard line. They'll mark him down at the 1. Peyton Thompson, Alu Alu, both in on the tackle of Joe Banyard. Banyard's been a special teams guy in the league. 4th-year player, has some time with New Orleans and Minnesota, but mostly on special teams.
When you're getting a lot of guys on this roster now, JP, like Banyard, who have been in the league, and they have proven they can play, they contribute on special teams, they can do NFL-type things, and a lot of those type of guys aren't going to make this roster. In years past, you're probably talking about Banyard as the 4th running back. Now, probably not, quite frankly, another indication of where this roster is compared to 3 or 4 years ago.
Banyard to the right, shoulder down, and they'll mark him down at the 1-yard line. Jordan Tripp out of Montana is there to make the contact.
And Jordan Tripp, a lot of people know who follow the team closely. One of those guys who you have to have in the NFL, probably not a starting type player for 16 games, but a guy who's very good on special teams and can play anywhere in the linebacker core. And one of the reasons they didn't go after a linebacker after they drafted Miles Jack to provide, quote-unquote, depth of the position, they like Jordan Tripp that much. They think he's better than most people outside the team realize.
Extra point. They'll try it anyway. Tinker with the snap. Norton with the hold. Myers with the point.
That's 2 for 2.
So one more scenario to go before the 2-minute halftime period. It's kickoff return. Starting unit against the kickoff coverage of the third team. And then this will get you out of here right after halftime, John, so you can write and get ready for the post-game scrum down on the field during the fireworks. Jeff Lagerman will join us.
Yeah, most things I do in life, I can only do about half anyway, JP. So that's about right for me. Half is good. But y'all be going down, you get a chance to hear from Jeff. And I talked to Jeff some of the sidelines during practice. You know, I'll be interested to hear his thoughts on Dante Fowler Jr., having played the position. When you hear guys like Jeff and Tony talk about Dante, they have a high level of expectation for a guy. If they're going to call him good, again, they look at this guy just like everybody else does, and there's just such a wow factor that once we get going, once you start seeing these guys live, I think fans are really going to be excited about what they see from Dante Fowler Jr.
This is a look at the kickoff return unit, and Corey Grant is standing about 5 yards deep in his own end zone. Taillights, they called him in Auburn.
Well, and with reason, his speed is special. And it's sort of starting to feel like that's his job to lose. And with the speed that he brings, you can see why that is.
They told him to take a knee, but Grant said, wait a minute. This is my one chance. He finds a little space, and he'll be pushed out of bounds around the 40-yard line going the other way.
Yeah, that'll be open for some debate when they look at the film. I'm sure the guys covering there will dispute that one.
Well, the idea of a
– but on Jaguars.com, or it's a 55-yard return, JP.
Yeah, kickoff return drill. You think you want to return it.
Well, that's right.
Corey Grant thought right and decided to bring it out. Anyway, this is now, let's see, they're going into some huddles here on the field before we break away for halftime. This is still the ones versus ones. And we'll see exactly what they've moved into. This is an unscripted scenario here on Jaguars.com coverage of the Florida Blue Family Night Scrimmage. So Bortles looks to the right side. He's got Julius Thomas just out of the reach of Dan Skuda, out of bounds, 5-yard gain.
It is interesting. They put Chris Smith in there on the outright in place of Dante Fowler Jr., maybe just not wanting to play Dante too much.
Because if you know Dante, and we know right. him a little bit now, he wants to play every single down of this
thing. Correct, sure.
So an unscripted scenario here for the Jags. Bortles pumps right, now throws right. Back shoulder, what a catch by Allen Robinson.
Yeah, again, it shows you what he's been. You know, the thing about A-Rob during camp is every NFL camp, every team's got plays that get made every day. It's gotten to the point where what we just saw is very routine for Allen Robinson. You're seeing it all the time, and you're seeing it from him every day. To me, that shows you, okay, not only can you expect it on the practice field, you can expect it here on September 11th when they play the Packers. He's turning into that reliable player.
Jalen Ramsey would have been flagged for pass interference on that play. Odrick wraps up Ivory in the backfield. That's a loss of about five. The ones versus ones. They started at their own 40 this time.
If you think about the two plays that A-Rob's made, JP, the pass down the middle, the pass right there, that's what we've seen all training camp. When fans say, well, what are you seeing that makes you so excited about A-Rob? It's those two plays routinely that are starting to be things that he just does that you realize that you can count on. That's what you have to have in an NFL offense. What can we count on going into the game on Sunday? What do we know is going to work? Unless the defense takes it away. Well, Allen Robinson on plays like that is getting harder and harder to take away.
Defense got some penetration, so Bortles had to throw it down to the feet of the running back. Telvin Smith letting Bortles know about it. Bortles gave him a little face rub on the way by.
Yeah. Good for him.
Hearns to the far left. Haven't called his name tonight. Robinson top of the screen. Ivory's the back. Bortles looking to throw. Near side, there's Hearns. It's off his hand. Incomplete. Amukamara in coverage.
You're going to have Myers come out and try to win this thing, JP.
This will be a long one. Nortman is lined up about the 45, so you're looking at a 55-yard field goal for Jason Myers, who had a 58-yarder, his longest a year ago with the Jags. From the left hash, Tinker with a step, Norton with a hold, the kick is in the air. It is close, it is off to the right.
It went good. Wide, long enough, but it was there.
Had the distance, pushed it to the right. Myers' first miss of the night from 55 yards. So we'll see what the Jaguars have in mind now after an unscripted scenario.
Well, my guess is you'll hear Gus talk afterward. The unscripted scenario, that's part of what he tries to do. You know, sort of throw stuff at guys that they're not expecting and see how they handle it. And I'm sure that was part of his plan for the scrimmage tonight. Let's see how they handle stuff that they weren't necessarily expecting. So sort of a typical move for Gus, I think.
Final thoughts for you here, John, at the official halftime now, two-minute halftime period for the Jaguars here at the Florida Blue Family Night scrimmage. We saw some fine plays by Allen Robinson,
right,
as you said. Julius Thomas caught a touchdown. Some nice plays defensively, too,
right,
with Nick Marshall with a nice deflection. What do you see so far?
Not the greatest night for the offense. I'm sure fans tuning in will say, well, I like the defense, but I didn't like the offense. That's what you're always going to get in this kind of situation because it's the Jaguars are playing against each other. It strikes you that the defense is significantly improved. It also strikes you that the offense still, at some point during the preseason, they need to get some continuity. They need faster starts. That's been a topic. I'm not going to sit here and say that because they didn't score in a controlled scrimmage, they're not going to start fast this year. But I know that'll be a theme going forward. I know that'll be a theme tomorrow off of this. The fact that you saw some chemistry from Julius Thomas is good.
Yeah.
And the fact that you saw Allen Robinson, you can see what they will do this year when they're in trouble, when they've got to have a play made. Allen Robinson is going to be a huge target. As defenses realize that, and as they start game planning him, then all of a sudden you have Hearns, you have Julius Thomas. So they are set up to start being very consistent, very explosive offensively. The other factor you really couldn't see tonight, the running game. It's hard to know until the regular season starts whether they're going to be able to run the ball. So take what you saw here in terms of the offense not scoring with that sort of a grain of salt. It's really hard to really see what the offense is until the lights come on.
And maybe even next week against the New York Jets.
Maybe even second half.
Real opponent.
Or
half.
Jumping the gun a little bit.
I don't know about that. You know, they might turn up the energy a little bit tonight. So, yeah, the New York Jets coming up Thursday night at MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey. First time out. As per usual, we'll probably see the offense quarter, the starters maybe?
Yeah, probably two series you would think-ish in that area. I don't think they're going to play their starters deep in very many preseason situations. This team needs to stay healthy. And there are continuity things that they want to get going. But this team needs to be healthy going into the opener. I think you may see him scale back a little bit of the reps in preseason for that reason.
Johnny, well done. I hear some whistles behind us. They're about to start the second half, and we'll talk to you after. We'll look forward to your
ride. Enjoy logs.
Yeah.